Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville. I'm already laughing thinking about this town. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Longtown.
That would be a little weird.
Ah, I'm going to try not to make any jokes.
Just don't.
Yeah.
Let's just move on.
Oh, someone's been to Longtown. Anyway, wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com.
It's just a click away.
Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Whatever your role is in the business, you need to get Cam Baker involved and working with you guys, because he's been doing it better than anybody else. Pip Printing and Signs has been doing it for 30 years here in the state of Mississippi. If you have a message to get out to your customers, Pip Printing and Signs can help you get that message out in a way that's going to attract attention, attract customers, and attract the kind of business that you want to get through your doors. And it's not just mailers, it's not just coupons. They have an incredible selection of graphics, of signage, inside and exterior, interior signage, whatever it is. They can put it together for you. Give Cam Baker a call today and tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning, and let him take it from there and get your business going in the right direction with Pip Printing and Signs. 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. We keep talking about it, and we're going to keep talking about it. The interlocking MSU, we want it to stay. We want it to be the primary logo here at Mississippi State. The only way to do that is with your pocketbook. You get very old school right there. Honey, go get me my pocketbook. I mean, if your grandmother never asked you to get you a pocketbook.
Get my pocketbook,
get my
sweetie.
Pocketbook. It's over there on the Chesterfield.
So she can write you a check.
Write me a check.
$20 to go get some gas.
And I always had the four on there.
Yep.
Gas.
Yep.
Yeah.
For gas. My papa always make the joke. He would just give me like a 20. But he didn't have a credit card.
He didn't believe in much of that.
I mean, like, his credit was probably nothing because he paid cash for everything.
I like your papa.
Trucks, houses, everything. And so he would just give me a 20, and he would say, you know, the joke was always, maybe that'll get you a gallon of gas.
Yeah.
You know.
Nowadays, he's accurate.
Yes, correct. So.
What read were we doing?
I don't know.
College Corner.
There we go.
Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. And if you haven't been to Restaurant Tyler lately, you need to go. You know, they just finished the remodel there. They were closed for about a month. Go check them out. For lunch, it's the best deal in town. Great meat options, veggies, the best cornbread. And if you're not looking for a blue plate, they have burgers, sandwiches, all sorts of great stuff to get you in and out of there on a weekday lunch. If you want the best meal in town, it's there for you at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let Priority One Bank be your guide. Let Priority One Bank show you what they're going to help you do with your money. You did the hard work. You got the money to the bank. Let them take it from there. Show you how to invest, how to manage your money, and do everything those big corporate banks do, but give you the service that you want from those small community banks. It's the best of both worlds at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie, we have some breaking news here. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it is freaking hot outside.
The breaking news is I'm about to fall asleep.
I want to give a shout out, not a sponsorship, but our friends at the Little Dewey. Went by there for lunch today for some superior catfish.
You did have
which
some
was delicious.
Catfish. I had the barbecue, but
yeah, and the owner Bart comes over and he's like, have you tried our? They had a dessert special today, some bread pudding, white chocolate bread pudding with a bourbon glaze. It's like, you've tried that yet? And I just said, you know what? If you bring us one, we'll certainly try it. And I thought he was just going to bring us a little one, and it was me and you and Gracie Barra and what's her boyfriend's name? He's leaving. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. He's out the road.
It's irrelevant. He's out of here.
He's out of our inner circle now.
Yeah. Anyway, so are you like Jericho and I'm Hager in that? Does that make sense?
Can I be Jericho?
Yeah.
You're the muscle.
I'm the muscle.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, what do they do is they bring each of us our own portion of bread pudding. And I'm, a southerner by nature. I'm a genteel gentleman.
Yes.
So I would never do anything to offend my host. So I ate the whole dang thing. And now I got to do this podcast and a show. So if you remember that episode of Head to Head Radio where Denzel Kimdiche was on there and he fell asleep, it might be a similar thing today.
That did happen, didn't it?
Yeah, he fell asleep.
Oh.
That is literally the hardest I've laughed at a radio segment
my
maybe
God,
ever.
My God.
So
what
funny.
What a dysfunctional family.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that I can't even really think right now.
I get it.
I'm so full and tired. Yeah. And
well, let's just try to get through this. So we went to we were at Mississippi State today for the first day of preseason camp here at Mississippi State. Robbie, I didn't go to watch the opening segments that we were allowed to go watch, but you did. So you saw about 20-25 minutes worth of practice today. Is this team ready to compete for an SEC championship based off of what you saw?
Yes. 12-0 in the regular season is my prediction. Maybe 11-1.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. So there's a team that could sneak up on Mississippi State at some point and spring an upset. But I'm sold. On the 20 minutes of practice I was able to see where basically nothing was happening, I'm sold.
All right. Well, that's probably the end of the podcast. And I mean, there's no reason to continue if that's going to be the case. We'll be serious at this point.
I was sitting there and I was like, what can I actually glean from any of this?
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes was stretching, and the next 10 minutes was, some other things. I get it. I'm not even going
to
complain about it. I'm just saying, I couldn't learn anything.
No.
I got to see some people run around, but they're not even in pads
yet. It's great for content. You put some video out, put some pictures out, do a quick, opening, this is what I'm seeing, it's fine. But let's not sit here and try to get deep with the analysis of what we saw.
I'm not going to give you, people that are standing out. And that, I can't look at it and tell.
I don't know if you listened to Kiffin's press conference yesterday. I had to because we played it on the show.
Saw some quotes.
And I thought that there were two coaches, Kiffin and Lebby, with two different set of expectations for their football team. But I thought their message was very similar. Kiffin, he may have said, doesn't mean we're going to be any good, about eight times.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we got all these guys back, but it doesn't mean we're going to be any good. Trying to avoid...
He's a sandbagger.
The infamous rat poison.
Right. Well, he wants to leave himself a way out.
Hey,
he doesn't want to give anything.
In any business.
Bulletin board.
Under promise, over deliver is a key to success.
Yes.
But Lebby had some of that today, too. I think he said three or four times, we have a ton of work to do. We have a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I think both of them are, Kiffin is correct, right? He knows his team is going to be pretty good. But what he's saying, there have been plenty of teams that had plenty of experience coming back and talent, and they just collapsed, right? So what Kiffin's saying is totally true. What Lebby is saying is totally true, too. He's not saying that this team is going to be bad. He's not saying that they're going to be a 4-8 football team. But he is saying, though, that right now they're not ready, and they have a long road ahead of them to get to Labor Day weekend. That makes a lot of sense to me when you consider what this team is and how much newness this team has.
And that's he mentioned a little bit in his opening statement type thing he did, and then I asked him afterwards, what are you looking for in this first practice? What are you trying to start installing things? Do you want to – I mean, are you trying to make sure guys – heads aren't about to, you know, fall off from the swimming that they're doing. And he just said, I want to see people go out there and attack the day, have a lot of excitement about being out there. And I think we saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And you could even, like, get a sense of it after practice. Like, the guys were, you could hear them goofing off outside, mm-hmm. having fun with each other. I remember last year doing those interviews with Zach Arnett and stuff. You didn't see that same kind of camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying this like with the benefit of hindsight. We're coming off the practice field, everybody's excited to be out there. They have a different kind of feel about them. Just like you said, doesn't mean they're going to be good,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like they're having a lot more fun. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and you know, one of the things that I was wondering is like his thoughts on the defensive staff, what he's seen from them. Because, you know, as he mentioned, he's staying with the quarterbacks basically the whole time. I mean, mm-hmm. he's putting it in the hands of his assistants on a lot of different things. He's hanging out developing quarterbacks and working with the offense. He didn't spend much time at all with the defense because he's hired people to do that. And he's really excited about Coleman Hutzler and Matt Barnes. We'll see how that translates to the field. But he believes in those guys and believes that they're going to be able to handle that.
Yeah.
And I stood up there by the defense a little bit. I always enjoy watching Coleman Hutzler work.
Mm-hmm.
He might be Peter Sermon 2.0.
Yeah.
I don't know. We don't know until we see him. But just seeing him work on the field.
That's twice in 2 days that I've made a Peter Sermon. Like, I said something about Peter Sermon on the live show on Wednesday night. I said, you know, talking to him, I thought that guy was going to be the next head coach.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, he does have some of those traits. Like, he has, and not like Peter Sermon, but like traits where you could see him elevating himself if he has some success here. Like, I could see him becoming a big-time defensive coordinator and eventually a head coach just because he has that kind of personality.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very interested to see that group. The little that we saw, I like the safety group. I like the athleticism that they have in the defensive backfield, and they got some depth back there too.
Yeah.
I think that group is going to surprise some people. Yeah. And definitely based on what I've heard from other people that are, you know, that have watched more of this team or that have been around the players, that have been around the team, they're expecting a lot of good things from that safety group, and I'm there with them. I think that group could be a little bit of a surprise.
Do you know who Hutzler reminds me of? And it's tough to make comparisons because people
– against the nuance. Like, people can't talk with nuance.
I'm talking about in terms of his mannerisms and the way he talks. He's just like Kirby Smart.
Maybe so.
Very much. I feel like Kirby Smart, you know, kind of that down-home guy, but at the same time, he's very fiery, and I think there's some of that as well. So
you can tell that he loves this job.
He likes to coach. Like, he likes to coach.
He was put on earth to be a coach.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's a result-oriented business. He's going to have to get recruits here. He's going to have to put a defense on the field that's going to be competent and is going to be able to handle SEC teams offensively. And I don't know if that's going to be this year, but he needs to show some promise there defensively. But Lebby trusts him a lot.
Yeah.
So
let's go to that audio now. We have the audio from earlier today from
Mississippi.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I'm there, I might as well work, right? So we've got the audio here. This is Jeff Lebby after practice today on Thursday, the first day of preseason camp here at Mississippi State.
Questions?
We'll take us through the first day of a preseason.
Yeah, our guys had great energy. Again, just being intentional. Worked their butt off this summer to get us to this point. Man, we got so much work to do, so much to clean up. But, again, our guys' energy, our effort, our focus, and our want to get better is what it's all about day one, and we've got that.
What is kind of the I guess your basic game plan on day one? I mean, they're not in pads and things like that. I mean, what do you want to accomplish in that first practice?
Yeah, exactly what I just mentioned. You want to see guys that are very intentional in getting better, taking to the coaching, finding ways to get coached, coach me, coach attitude every single rep, and finding ways to strain. And again, our guys are doing that. We've got a ton of work to do. But if we will continue to be intentional in how we enter the building every day, every single rep and walk through, every single rep and practice, every single rep in meetings, we're going to get it done.
What about retention? How do you feel like maybe things have kind of held over from the spring and the summer meetings when you get on the field?
Yeah, our guys have retained in a really good way because they worked at it. You know, it's not like they haven't picked up the playbook since we got off the field in the spring game. And so, again, they've put in the time, and we're so much further ahead than we were when we ended the spring, which that's what you want. Now it's about getting the young guys up to speed and the new guys up to speed and getting them work.
It's normal for you to welcome some of the freshmen left over from the class that enroll in June, but how different is that dynamic to have some senior transfers coming in June and then getting their first practices today? How different is that transition for them?
Yeah, it is different. You know, there's a lot of newness still for, you know, 10 to 12 of our guys, and for them understanding how we're going to do what we do every single day, that's going to take a little bit of time as we get into it. But again, I think we've got some good leadership inside our locker room that's helping with that, and we're going to continue to need that.
As the head coach, I mean, you get a lot of practice during the spring, so you've probably gotten a little bit of that out of the way. But did this feel any different for you going out there and leading a first, you know, training camp practice?
No, I mean, there was great excitement around being able to finally get started and get going and get back on the grass, without a doubt. I think for me, day one has always been very similar from an excitement standpoint. Man, we're starting this journey together. We're going to chase it together. Now I've got the opportunity to lead the entire program, which I love and I'm thankful for.
Related to that, where did you spend most of your day today?
With the quarterbacks and the offense, as you could probably imagine.
Talk about the work that needs to be done. What do you need to see between now and the end of the month to give you confidence going into the season?
Yeah, we need to see guys strain. We need to see great physicality. We got to see us take care of the football. It's all about the ball. And then defensively, it's that fine line, right? Defensively, we got to go get the ball. So you're wanting to see some give and take. And that's hopeful for me as we go through fall camp.
Obviously, they got plenty of time to learn and get used to college classes and all that, but how big is that gap between your freshmen that got here in January to the guys that are just trying to figure out where to go on campus?
Yeah, we've got guys that understand how to run, and then we've got guys that are learning how to walk, and that's really what it is. So, again, trying to get those guys up to speed. The guys that came in June, man, they did. They had really good summers. But at the same time, this was day one for them practicing with us. So they got to get up to speed. They're finishing up finals right now. So there's some give and take with that too, academically. But their guys are trying to do what we're asking them to do.
Throughout the summer, how have you just seen the new quarterback Blake Chapin just kind of take the reins and becoming the leader on this team so far?
Yeah, he's all about, man, walking the walk, you know, every single day. Our football team won't if he won't. And so he's in the building all day, every day, spending time trying to get better, trying to encourage his teammates to get better. And that's what we got to have from him. He's done that and needs to continue to.
How are you making sure that your team continues to have their mental toughness in these heat conditions that everyone has to go through?
All you got to do is get out there and go do it, you know, and that's the reality. I think our guys understand, we said it in the team meeting this morning, the best they'll feel the rest of the season was this morning. Those days are over. That's part of this game. It's a violent game. It's a physical game. It's hard. It's supposed to be. But we got to do a great job taking care of our body. And when we're out there, straining.
You mentioned all the assistant coaches we talked to seem to stress. Every one of their groups seem to have a good relationship with each other.
Yeah.
Have you seen that chemistry been built among those groups?
Yeah, well, we've been very intentional on being connected, you know, as a football team, as groups, as units. And understanding it's a lot more about the guy next to me than it is me. And I think when we do that and we take that, we got a chance to be the best possible version of us as we can be.
Back in the spring, you had guys kind of figuring out where they were going to live and unpacking boxes. Do you get a sense now that you're in fall that things are kind of getting back to normal and you guys can kind of ease into a football routine?
Yeah, I mean, routine is good for everybody, for all of us. Again, we've got 24 more practices. That routine will be really good as we go through camp. And, man, it's as simple as day by day, rep by rep, walkthrough by walkthrough, meeting by meeting, getting better. And that routine will be good for us.
You mentioned being on, you know, sitting over there with the offense most of the day and the quarterbacks, and you leave it to Coleman and Matt Barnes on the defensive side. What have you seen from them leading the defense, you know, dating back to the spring and what they've done, you know, from a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, Coleman's a guy that's got great presence, got great leadership ability. Again, he's a guy that's got an unbelievable amount of experience in having to touch the entire team and lead the entire team and find ways to get the most out of a lot of different positions. So that's really natural for him. Matt's a guy that, again, got great energy. He's got incredible experience in calling defense, and so being able to have that balance, him supplementing and supporting Coleman with their great relationship has been fun to see.
What's something that you want to see happen on day two of practice?
Yeah, I want to make sure that we're doing the things that we get coached on in the meeting, we get them fixed. You know, you want to see guys go from the meeting room to the practice field and fix whatever problem it is.
Let's talk about bringing in Kevin Coleman in the offseason, the spring. What did you bring him from? What did you see him
do? Yeah, I saw a guy that had the ability to have great production inside our offense. You know, and when I called around and asked people about him, they said all the right things, from mentality, toughness, leadership, who he was as a human, and he's been that. And so that's a guy I'm excited about.
Because I know it's day one, and you're probably bouncing around a lot, but was there anyone in particular that kind of saw that stood out a little bit today for you?
No, I'll have to get in there and watch the tape. Again, our guys,
I can't hear in this.
They had the right intent today. That's what we were looking for. We got to stack days, and we got to be better tomorrow morning than we were this morning.
Really handsome, good-looking question there at the end. But whoever asked that, I don't remember who it was, but they asked him about, what do you want to see on day two? And he made a good point. He's like, I want to see that the stuff that we're coaching is happening out there on day two. That makes – you don't ever think about it. And I think because of the way the schedules work, we very rarely get back-to-back days, right? You get to day one, and then you probably don't talk to him again until, like, day five. And I thought – that's something I wanted to know. And by the way, that was my question. That's why it was good-looking, Robbie.
A good-looking question?
Very good-looking. Very handsome question. Also, very, very sensitive. But I wanted to know, like, you know, what do you want to see tomorrow? Because we're not going to get a chance to talk to you. And I thought that was a really good answer from Lebby. So that's day one. Day two, on Friday, I believe there are going to be some players available afterwards.
Supposed to be. I won't be able to make it. I got to mow my grass, and I got stuff to do.
But, I got to go to Jackson. We're going to be at the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame banquet.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to your boy Eli.
So Eli's going in. Mm-hmm. Who else is going in?
That you would know? Richard Deweese is going in.
Excellent.
Excellent choice there. You know who Red Barber is? Hall of Fame baseball announcer. He was like an announcer for the Brooklyn Dodgers back in the day.
He's from Mississippi?
Yeah, he's going in. Jimmy Smith is going in.
Jimmy Smith. Yep. And then
Savante Stringfellow, the track star at Ole Miss. Yeah, he was an Olympian. He's going in.
Yep.
And there's one guy, I forget his name, he's a fisherman. Like a pro fisherman. So I think that was interesting to go in. But
yeah.
But Eli, obviously, the headliner, and he'll be there. We'll get to talk.
Wasn't there another state person going in?
Jimmy Webb is going in.
Jimmy Webb, that's right.
That's
played in the 70s.
Played in 70, yeah, mid 70s.
78.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Played in the pros, so yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll be there today for that. So that'd be
cool. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. But players, I think today.
Y'all talked to Bill Blackwell the other day.
The other day, yeah, had him on. So always good to talk to Bill.
Yep.
So today, Friday, as you're listening, there's players, and I think players Saturday as well, and then Sunday, no availability, or they haven't said yet.
It's not on the schedule. I don't know if the schedule goes, you know, some people say the work week starts Sunday. The week starts on Sunday.
Okay, here we go.
And I'm one of those people, I know the Bible is like apparently the Sabbath is supposed to be on Saturday or something.
Well, that's
like,
what, for the Jewish people, it is Saturday.
That's the Jewish Sabbath.
Yeah. I don't drive a car. I don't go to work, and I sure as hell don't roll on Shomer Shabbos.
In America, the week starts on Monday.
That's correct. My wife and I had a huge argument about this the other day, because, and I can win the argument with one question. Right? People are like, Sunday's the first day of the week. Is Sunday part of the weekend?
Yes.
It is? How can the beginning of the week be at the weekend?
Does your wife says that Sunday is a weekend too, right?
She does, but she also says Sunday is the first day of the week. It is not. Sunday is the last day of the week.
Like, technically, like, people, I think, like, the calendar starts Sunday as the first.
It does, but it's not, I don't care. I don't care what the ancient Romans thought.
Yeah, I don't understand, like, why are we taking
Sunday is the last day of the week.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to go to work.
We need to do that. We need to get rid of the daylight savings time.
Robbie, you're just making too much sense here. Falk for president.
No, you don't want me to be president.
I think you'd be a great president.
I'd be the greatest.
Be the greatest president.
I would run the country.
Some are saying the most handsome president we've ever had.
I would run the country in the ground.
Yeah.
I would be on Twitter. I'd be calling out trolls on Twitter every day.
I would make it a rule that you're not allowed to be anonymous on Twitter. I mean, my new law.
Yes.
My new law.
And if I'm friends with Elon, like Trump is,
yeah, make it happen.
He should be taking care of that.
Making it happen.
Yeah, so, I would do it.
There we go. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, make sure you're cooking with beef. I know it's hot outside. That's why a steak is a great thing to cook out. doesn't take a lot of time.
That's
Get
right.
the coals hot, sear, turn, sear, eat.
Like 5 minutes.
It takes longer to get the coals hot than it takes to cook a steak if you're doing it the right way.
I can't stand I haven't had to deal with it for several months now, mm-hmm. but I can't stand having to get coals hot and sitting there waiting on, like, wait on that process to get done.
You just go suck inside.
Knowing that you can have a steak done in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. There have been times I've cooking steak and I'm just like, I'm literally going to spend more time getting the grill ready than I am cooking.
It's crazy. Meat, so.
Wherever you are in our great state, you need to be cooking beef this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked southern soul food that you are looking for. If you're going to be in Starkville, a trip to Two Brothers is a must. The smoked wings, all the tacos, the prime rib sandwich, maybe some pork rind nachos. I've heard they're pretty good. And, of course, if you haven't been to the Older Brother yet, that's the place to go check out. This football season, I'm just telling you, you got better chance sitting front row of a Taylor Swift concert than walking into the Older Brother and just getting a table. You're going to have to wait. But the wait is worth it. The fancy sandwiches are fantastic. The Two Brothers Smoked Meats, the Older Brother, two of Starkville's best restaurants right there in the Cotton District. Great products and great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it now for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of you and taking care of your business. If you need technology for your business, please give them a call. And then when you need service, it's just a simple phone call away. It's not a 1-800 number. It's not a call center where you're on hold for an hour, hour and a half. It's not a week to 10 days to wait for an appointment to come fix it. A lot of times it's going to be the exact same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at the games this fall, make sure you are at Maroon & Co. Maroon & Co. has got all of the polos, t-shirts, and hats you want, plus everything you need for the tailgate, for your house, for your car, to let the folks know that you support the Maroon & White. And we're going to help you save a little money. Thunder15 is the promo code. You can use it in-store and online. Save 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis-Wade Stadium, you must go to Maroon & Co. Baseball news to finish up the week for us here, Robbie. As you report, it's not the right word, but it predict it would be. David Mershon is, in fact, headed to pro baseball. He signed a deal with what are they?
Angels.
Yeah, but what are they? Are they the Los Angeles Angels?
Yeah, LA Angels.
They're just the LA Angels now. Because they were the Anaheim Angels.
Anaheim, yeah, they're
and then
Los
they were
Angeles.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
I think Anaheim is completely out of the name.
So they're just the Los Angeles Angels now.
I think, yeah.
They are the second biggest team in LA. Congrats.
They are in LA.
They are in LA.
Yes.
I'm surprised they didn't get mentioned.
Along with UCLA.
UCLA. You see the shirts?
Yes.
I thought that was great. If you mess up, embrace it.
Right.
So
that's
why I'm introducing my new line of Cajun seasonings.
what are those?
If you mess up, you got to embrace it. So, Papa Hey Dad's Cajun
Rubs. Papa Hey Dad.
Yeah. HADEAUXD.
Papa Hey Dad's voodoo sauces.
There you go. Anyway, going back into the season, Robbie, when we talked to people, it always seemed like Mershon had a foot out the door. He wanted to go ahead, and that had been his plan, maybe as most of his adult or his young adult life, that 2 years in college and then off to the pros. Probably disappointed to be drafted where he was.
Mm-hmm.
Probably could have made more money by coming back
and
going into the draft again, but he was just ready to go, and so there he went.
And on draft night, I reported that he was leaning towards that he was expected to sign.
Yeah,
and immediately people came in there and were like, "He's only going to sign for $100,000, $150,000." They felt like they were going to get $400,000 from the beginning, and I reported that a couple weeks ago. I think I came in there and said $400,000 is their number, and he got $405,000. So I can't really blame him. That's probably around the money he would have gotten next year in the draft. Mm-hmm. Now, he definitely lost some money that he would have made in NIL here. But the bottom line was he and his family were ready to move on. They're ready to for pro ball. He got the money that he wanted. I know the draft position was kind of weird, you know, getting drafted in the 18th round. I feel pretty good in saying had Prager signed from A&M,
mm-hmm.
you probably
because they would have spent another $2 million yep. or so.
Right, right. The way the numbers worked out, it came to the point where if Prager was going to sign, the number was going to be down to about 150.
Maybe about 150,000, yeah.
And that was going to be a chore for the Angels to be able to sign him. I still think that he would have considered it, but I think State's chances of getting him back would have been significantly higher had Prager not signed. But they wanted to dating back to the middle of the season, word was getting around that they were planning on going pro no matter what.
Right.
If he could get something that wasn't just scraps,
yeah.
he was going to go pro. And, you know, I don't think they got the money they wanted earlier in the draft. He was not an 18th round guy.
No.
I think that's one thing people have to remember with the draft is Dakota Jordan's not a 4th round draft guy.
Mm-hmm.
He got drafted in the 4th round, but that's not he right. didn't. That's not the position he was expected to be drafted.
Right.
It's all about money. It's all about, you know, whenever you get it, whenever you agree to a certain number, or at least the preliminary talks of it, teams say, hey, we can give you this. That's where you get taken. And he just happened to fall down to the 18th. And it's kind of like Dakota. Like, it worked out perfectly against Mississippi State for Mershon to be able to sign. Because I don't think that he was going to sign for, you know, $5. I think that it was still going to take a decent number to get him. But they got the number that he wanted, 400, around 400. He got 405.
Yeah.
And, you know, after taxes and stuff like that, that's going to – a pretty good chunk's going to come out of that. But it's still a decent amount of money, and the kid just wants to
– he's just ready to go.
He just wants to move on.
So, and there it is. So, now when we look at Mississippi State for the upcoming season.
And lost Travis Smith, too, by the way.
Oh, I didn't see that. Did Smith go ahead and sign?
Yeah, he signed.
That's a tough blow.
Another thing
that's
I reported –
almost a bigger blow.
Another thing I reported, like, back before the draft was a scout was telling me if he got drafted, he was going to sign.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was going to be tough to get him here. There was some talk. The people I talked to really felt like he might not mesh well with the coach that was, like, a little harder on him. Like, he didn't really take coaching as well.
Mm.
There were some things there that were kind of concerning for some people. And, you know, and not really like that he had a bad attitude or anything like that. I just think that he got affected by things easily. And so that was going to be, for Justin Parker, that was going to be a challenge to kind of get him on track. Because he's kind of been up and down with his play. You know, he's in the starting rotation this year for Kentucky and got, you know, quite frankly, he got shelled early on in the schedule. And then all of a sudden, he's coming out of the bullpen. I thought you saw some better things from him late in the season, and I feel like, you know, had he bought into what Justin Parker was doing as the pitching coach, he could have been a high draft pick next year. But another guy that's just kind of ready to go pro, and he was using Mississippi State as some leverage, which is fine. But another one that I haven't really expected to land on campus.
Yeah.
So that brings up the question, what has Mississippi State been doing in the transfer portal? I mean, they signed two pitchers mm-hmm. out of the portal after losing their entire rotation, losing two of their biggest bullpen pieces. You lost Colby Holcomb, which, yeah, he was probably going to transfer anyway, but that was a guy that at least had some potential. So all the pitchers that they lost and all the question marks they have, and they got – is it two guys, Chase Hungate and Parker from – I mean, what's the dude's name from
– I know who you're talking about, too.
Indiana State.
I know
Jacob, you're talking. Is it Jacob Parker?
No, it's not Parker, is it? Because that's – it's not Justin Parker. Pruitt?
Jacob Pruitt.
Okay.
That's right. Sorry.
Yeah, Jacob Pruitt, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, Noah Sullivan is a utility guy, but I don't think they're going to use him in that way.
Basically, they're going to be heavily relying on Pico Khan to be a Friday night guy, kind of guy, a guy like Bradley Lofton to finally be able to deliver on his potential.
I think the line of thinking is
Mekhi Grant needs to come back and be able to go.
Yeah, I think the line of thinking is Justin Parker believes that he has guys in place that can step in. And like we've said before, he has a better idea. I lean to trust him a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but based on what we saw last year with some of the guys, I mean, he did miracles with Tyson Harden and Tyler Davis. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Cal Steven was already solid with Purdue, but he made him a difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
Drangelo, I mean, Nate Dolm, when he was healthy, was fantastic. So if he believes that he can do it with these guys, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But at the same time, I do have to kind of wonder, like, what was, like, why they couldn't have more traction in the transfer portal. And I know that they recruited more guys. They recruited the guy from Ohio State and the one from East Carolina that went to Arkansas.
Both went to Arkansas.
They recruited the guy that the Ross guy that was going to Florida.
Yeah.
And I think he signed a pro contract, so it doesn't matter. But you would have lost him anyway. But they were recruiting these guys, and they didn't land them. I don't understand how they couldn't land some of those guys. Justin Parker had the world to sell to some of these guys. Come in and be a starter. I can turn you into a potential, you know, top 3-round draft pick like I did the starting rotation last year. So I don't really know what the – I mean, it's a solid transfer portal group, but there's still so many things that they could have done. And I don't know if they're going to add anybody else. They really need another middle infielder, if we're being real. They probably needed another outfielder since they didn't get things together away there. So, I don't know. I'm kind of with you. Like, we're just going to kind of wait it out for next year.
Mm-hmm.
But my expectations for that team right now are just not really high. I mean, there's way too many holes and spots that have to be filled and guys that have to step up. You know, Nolan Steven made a huge jump, I feel like, in the summer. That's
got to translate over here.
Yeah, you got to have him come over here and be a difference maker.
Was it last year? I think Aaron Downs had a huge summer and didn't really translate for him. So,
and you know, States has some early signs of guys like having those big summers. Like,
yeah,
you know, Colton Ledbetter had a huge summer.
Yeah.
And translated Isaac, that.
Had a good summer.
Connor Hyzak. You know, I remember Hunter Renfro going into his junior year.
Yeah.
He had that monster summer with the big train, and that translated into a big year with State in 2013.
Yeah.
You need Nolan Stevens, I mean, maybe not like a Hunter Renfro type impact, but you need him to be a middle of the order bat.
Yeah.
As a
sophomore. You need 300 double digit home runs.
And you need Hunter Hines to get back to.
Which I think he will. Like, it feels like last year, he's been here 3 years. Two of them were really good, one was bad. Which one's the outlier?
The strikeout rate has been what it is.
Yeah.
He's going to strike out a bunch. You just need him to. You need that batting average to be, you know, 285, 290, and not 230 something.
Right.
And you can't have those long streaks of really struggling. So hopefully he gets back to it and you have like a Nolan Stevens that steps up and some of these transfers that you've gotten in can come in and provide some really good at bats. I still think the lineup will be better than last year just from a.
But we got the big questions pitching wise, though.
Yeah, which is a little different than last year. You know, you felt like last year you were talking about this lineup's actually pretty good. You got Hunter Hines and Dakota Jordan in the middle of it, and pitching staff, you know, we'll see. But I don't know. I don't know what to expect from this team.
I'm gonna continue to keep my predictions close to the vest.
Wait and see.
And I'll play wait and see. All right. Next week, plenty of stuff to talk about as far as football goes. As the practices start to heat up, we'll be talking to players, talking to coaches, or talking to coach, I guess, just to Jeff Lebby.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, let's see here. SEC prediction will be Texas A&M. Opponent preview next week will be Florida. That'll be an interesting one. Plus, who knows? Who knows what else we'll have to talk about? We'll figure it out as we get there. Guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Talk Mississippi Media Production.